You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Pat's Puri it up, yo. Here we go. The back half of today's Six Rings and Football Things podcast. Let's get right to it. We mentioned earlier in the first half, talking quarterbacks in the final mock draft, the Diana Rossini tweet. Forget about the Patriots listening to and or taking calls from number three. We've heard they have. We heard they haven't. Be that as it, Drake May. The second half is what really set a fire ablaze Monday in Pat's Nation. While Elliot Wolf is running point, I'm told Patriots president Jonathan Kraft is heavily involved in the decision making. Yikes. Yikers Island. Oh, boy. Yeah. No bueno. Now, our pal Nick Cattles tweeted out last night, per Diana Rossini's report about Jonathan Kraft being, quote, heavily involved, both Tom Curran and Phil Perry said on Early Edition Monday, ownership wants to be, quote, in the loop, but won't make the final call. Also, there has yet to be an offer worth truly considering. What have you heard, Andy?
Well, definitely the same thing about an offer worth truly considering has not manifested yet. Pot shots at maybe some new people who are in GM positions or positions sort of to make trades, I've heard about sort of the style, and the league needs more deal makers, and there's not enough of those right now, and sort of a new regimes across the league in some places. And then in terms of the craft level stuff, I mean, they've been quite open on the record that they're staying out of football decisions, right? That they are sort of doing business the way it's always been done. I've been told the same thing. The only change I've heard is that they are asking more questions than they did of Belichick at certain times, which makes sense because Belichick earned a certain degree of latitude, right? Like with his wins and his success, right? Like he earned that right. And guess what? In 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, Elliot Wolf might earn that right along the way with what he does. And the proof is in the pudding. But I've been told it's really that is just not true. That is just flat out not true. Now, maybe they're all lying and maybe Jonathan is the puppet master and pulling all these strings behind the scenes. But I think the football people, Wolf and Mayo, are being given the latitude to do what football thinks is right.
So you're talking about maybe a little more helicopter parenting than Geppettoing, if you will.
Yeah, isn't that like expected?
It is their team. Yeah, I mean
new youthful leadership. Like you have no track record of these guys making decisions, the work they do. I think in any business, any world, like until you see that people below you do the job the right way. Mm-hmm. You have questions. You observe. Doesn't mean you tell them what to do. You may even like, I wouldn't have done it that way, but it's an interesting angle. Let's see if this works and then go from there. But this idea that Jonathan is heavily involved, I just have heard no wind of it publicly or privately. And until I have reason to doubt this, I'm going to believe what people are telling me.
This is now the second instance, though, with a Jonathan Kraft football operations report, right? Because we had we talked about it last week, Andy, with the Wickersham stuff about when has Seth Wickersham really been wrong? Like everyone thinks he's.
Now we have conflicting. When has Seth Wickersham been wrong? And how often is Rossini right?
That's true. I know. I was going to get to that too, because it's okay. When has Wickersham been wrong? Everyone hates him. Everyone thinks he's wicker scam. But when you look back at all the, you know, the deep dives he's done, they've been pretty much correct. He does have his journalistic and, you know, creative writing spin on it. But at the end of the day, it's really true. He also mentioned Jonathan Kraft, Robin Glazer being, you know, having hands on in football. Now Russini has this. So that's two sort of flares of smoke. But it could also be something they hear and then turn it into something it's not, right? Because we had the Russini thing with Mike Vrabel and how he came in and was really scary and fought people
off.
He's too big. And then she sort of had to talk that back after putting that out there and blowing it into something it wasn't. So you got to kind of take it for what it is with both Wickersham and Russini. But I do think two flares, if there's smoke, there could be fire. But they could also just hear, like you said, that they are asking more questions because it's a new regime and they don't want to just completely hand the reins over. They want to make sure that things are going, you know, in a sense, the way they want them to.
It could be a supervising capacity, Andy. Go ahead, please.
Well, and it always has been. And, you know, even the idea that Robert revealed Bill didn't have full power until after the third Super Bowl, where I think some people, including myself, thought there was a little more yoke before that. That was interesting. And they've always had high-level, low number of attendees meetings that were like Robert, Jonathan, Bill, and only a couple other people. And so they are in that inner circle, like that high level planning always have been. And that was before they had the number three pick in the draft. Like we talked about it. There's billions of dollars on the line here, billions of dollars. So that's why I've never understood this pushback against, oh, Josh Harris is in the meeting room. I don't care. He owns the goddamn
team. He's managing his asset as well.
Right. Now, if Adam Peters writes down Jaden Daniels on a card, and Josh goes, give me that, and crosses it out and puts something else. Okay, now we get an issue. Now we got problems.
But you could get also into the Tepperverse, if you will, where like he forces Frank Reich's hand. And it's funny, Houston actually wanted Bryce Young. And it sounds like Frank Reich in his first and only year, didn't even make it through the whole damn year, wanted Bryce Young. Imagine the sliding doors, you know, flip that, reverse it world we could be living in, like total upside down Alice in Wonderland routine that would go with those two teams. So you don't want to be so heavy-handed and so didactic that you tell them like, no, this is it. Well, then why am I here in the first place? Am I just preparing a bunch of TPS reports and draft analysis for you? Or you were going to actually let me chime in.
The Patriots in trouble. This was what Belichick reportedly did so often over the years at the next level down, like scouts. Those people are putting together grades and lists. And
he ignored them. That's right.
And he's like, I know you gave him a grade. I'm crossing it out and putting my own grade. I know you think this guy's better. I'm taking the guy I want. That's how you've
got Herm Edwards, N'Keal Harry. Right. Come here.
Yeah, and the other guy that coached him out there as well. I just want to also add for contextual purposes, our pal Andrew Callahan put out yesterday, if Jonathan Kraft is indeed heavily involved, the Patriots have major explaining to do. Robert Kraft, quote, January 17th, Jonathan's not involved in the day-to-day operations. Robert Kraft, also on January 17th, ownership's input will be the same input that we've had for the last three decades. Elliot Wolf, February 27th. Ultimately, football making decision comes down to Gerard and I. Gerard Mayo, March 25th. They, meaning ownership, don't want to be involved in football decisions. And finally, Doug Kide adds to that. Robert Kraft on March 26th. In the end, I'll let the team make the decision with what they think is best. Now, that is could be potentially nebulous because who's the team?
Well, but also, like this idea that it's some Wizard of Oz behind the curtain thing. Robert's also been very open. Somehow, some way, at the end of the day, I'd like to see us get a quarterback. He said that publicly, I think multiple times.
They're taking one at some point. It's just a matter of who and when.
So if they're behind the scenes saying the same thing, is that some like dark secret puppeteering? Like he said it publicly in front of reporters. They want a damn quarterback. We all want a damn quarterback. They need a damn quarterback. So there's just a lot here. And the reality is, I think there are some people that A, don't like Jonathan Kraft. He can be abrasive. He can be bombastic. He can be incendiary. Like
very
there's a
controversial
lot of
take.
And I think some of that feeds into some of these reports and some of these quotes and comments and sourcings and different things. And the reality is right now, the Kraft name is a little bit marred by the dynasty and things that are going on. So then you're getting clicks and you know you're getting clicks. You know that's going to get read and reported. And so I just Until I have reason to either not believe what the Crafts are saying publicly, Jonathan Gerrard is saying publicly, and Wolf saying, and what people are telling me behind the scenes, until I have reason to believe that they're lying to me, I'm going to believe what they have to say. Just like Seth Wickersham and reporters. Like, Seth Wickersham has earned the right that I believe what he has to say. Diana Rustini has not. She's wrong too often. Sorry.
That's what happens good when point. You tell everyone that the Patriots love Jarrett Stidham. That's what happens.
Not speaking even of, love him. Love.
Speaking of Jarrett Stidham, how about that new quarterback room in Denver where they got those new fancy uniforms and a piece of branded content with the Ford Motor Company? Oh, it's awful. I love the old Elway level throwbacks that they'll bring back, but the new uniforms are terrible.
I don't hate the new uniforms. All right. I'm going to go.
I just muted Mike Cadlick for a second. I just sent him to timeout corner. Nope, that's terrible. Yep, he's actually out of the video feed now. He's in the background in black and white just going like, you're going to do that to me? Yeah, I can because I still control. Mike, all right, here we go. I'll bring him back into the podcast now. Mike, you actually like those.
They're not that bad.
They're terrible.
They're not that bad.
I think everything. Everybody, he likes everything.
Everybody hates every new uniform now. That's and true. I think everyone just hates them now just to hate them because they want
people
all the
love
old
the
cool
throwback
stuff.
Jags. They like the new alts for
those
the
are
Detroit
the throwback
Lions.
Stuff. Yeah, no, that's a good point. They do actually like the alts.
Those are nice and clean. I like
Cadlick. What do you hate?
Oh, man. Broccoli cheddar soup.
That is very specific.
That is because so highly specific. When's the last time you even went to the store and you're like, oh, I got to get it. It's a cold, rainy day. I need a soup. Oh, broccoli
it's
cheddar
just
again.
It's disgusting. It smells awful. It smells up a whole room. Broccoli stinks. I like cheese, but the cheddar, it's just disgusting.
Broccoli's so good for you. You're so 25. Oh, God bless you.
I love broccoli, but
I eat it every day.
I just think, and this is admirable. I wish I was a little bit more like this, and I wish a lot more people on Twitter were like this. Like, you react positively to most things. And I know I paint it as a Homer Patriots thing. I don't think it's just a Homer Patriots thing. I think in general, you err on the side of liking something as opposed to disliking it. Whereas most of the world airs on the side, especially on social media, airs
on
the side
think,
of criticism.
Yeah, but
we also know
like
too many
to
old grumpy
people.
People
just like, yes, people just love to be mad. So I take the opposite approach. It's like, well, until you give me reason to actually be upset about something, let's just look at it as a cool new uniform. I like the 5280. A shout out to Mile High. Right. People are mad about the sleeve. It's like it's just supposed to look like a mountain. Like the elevation stuff, the triangles. Everyone's like, why are there triangles in the numbers? It's like, just let it happen, people. Everyone just gets so upset.
I appreciate all of the aesthetics, the touches, the flourishes. Yeah. I just don't like them as much. I don't particularly like the Broncos uniforms of the last 20 years either. I do love their throwbacks the big D with the horse steaming like that, all of that. Andy, the D on the side of the helmet. Stop
you
it.
Like
stop it.
D?
Stop it.
He likes horse the horse D. D.
God, what are we doing?
You said it, not me.
What are
he
we
did
doing?
Say it.
I like the Elway era uniforms. Okay. Put it that way.
Everybody does. Yes, and just everyone does. Put Mike Cadlick's liking of the uniform.
Even ready for this. We're supposed to be talking about Zach Wilson being traded to the Broncos, for God's sakes.
Cadlick liked Juju Smith-Schuster and Mike Gesicki too. So just, you know.
Thank you. That's quite, that much like Juju's Snapchat is very revealing, Andy. Good job on that one.
You like that big D too?
Jeez Louise. What are we doing?
Tag Zach Wilson, huh? Zach Wilson's the Bronco, baby.
You know, I feel bad for the moms of Denver. Watch out, Zach Wilson. What is it also, by the way, every quarterback from 2021 gets traded for a sixth or a seventh round pick? How bad was that class?
Draft class.
They stink. Woo. They all stink, and they've shown their stink. I feel bad for Jarrett Stidham, who I've always kind of liked, and
he's going to lose
like
a job
Susan
to
Lucci.
Wilson or DiNucci. Oh, speaking of Lucci, he's out there competing with DiNucci. Yeah.
Like, I just, everybody raved about his throwing of the football. I remember Jim Nagy and everything, and he can sling it. But he's had so many places with so many opportunities, and it's like, everybody tries to replace him or pass him up or find another guy in a league where everyone gets a chance. Poor Jarrett Stidham, because they might draft a quarterback.
They're
too.
Definitely going to draft a quarterback too.
So oh like, yeah,
DiNucci's.
But where
not
do they go? Do they now? Do they
Wilson
come up?
Done.
Do they trade up? Are the Broncos interested in trying to trade up for McCarthy or even Bo Nix, trying to fancy him into a Mile High version of Drew Brees, or do they wait for like a Spencer Rattler or something?
I could see Bo Nix being their guy. I could see Bo Nix being, you know, he doesn't have the greatest of arms. He throws a lot of short passes. He tries to win with accuracy. He's more athletic than Drew Brees, but in my head, I'm kind of doing the Drew Brees comparison. Now, the one issue there is there's a difference between playing all your games in a nice dome in the Southeast and playing your games in Denver where
at
it can be 90 on January, whatever, and then a week later it can be snow-covered and blowing like hell. So
they do get 300 days of sunshine, so there's a reason why the disposition out there is largely positive. Maybe that's where you should live, Mike.
Reading way too into to mock drafts too, which I also tend to do among other things, including being positive about just about everything. For when there's like such a consensus on one player on a certain pick, I feel like it tends to be right. At least I've seen this with, we talked about it a few weeks ago, Andy, like the Steelers, right? The Steelers picked at pick 20 and 25 2 years in a row. Every single mock draft had them taking Najee Harris. And every single mock draft had them taking Kenny Pickett. They didn't trade up. They just sat there. Those players fell to them, and it was the right fit. I see that with Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos. Every single mock draft, basically, I've seen, has Denver sitting there and just taking the quarterback that falls to them in Bo Nix. Something tells me somebody knows that they have a love for Bo Nix. Sean Payton works pretty well with quarterbacks that aren't named Russell Wilson, and he's just going to bring him there and be able to fit him into his offense. Zach Wilson, Jarrett Stidham, Ben DiNucci, it doesn't matter when you draft a first-round quarterback. Those guys are all susceptible to being cut. So I do think Bo Nix is probably the pick at number 12 to Denver.
And I think you would have to put a hell of a lot more respect on the name of Sean Payton if he not only picks Bo Nix and he wins the job, but he has to beat out a resurgent Zach Wilson. If he's able to actually get something out of Zach Wilson and make him look like a half decent pro prospect, then damn, Sean Payton, good on you.
I didn't double check this, so I'm just telling you, I'm assuming it's right. I don't know if you guys saw this making the rounds on Twitter last night, but that Zach Wilson's first 3 years numbers are actually better than Drew Brees' first 3 years numbers in San Diego. And I was like, really? That is eye-openingly strange of a comparison.
Hold on.
And, you know, maybe that's what Sean Payton is seeing. Like, you know, I took Drew Brees after he was done in San Diego and I turned him into a 5,000 yard passing machine. And
what if they don't draft? What if they don't, Mike, just real quick, what if they don't take, this is a good dovetailing off Andy's point here. If this is true, what if they don't take Bo Nix at 12, figuring, you know what, I'm going to take a shot. I'll get back in the quarterback market next year, or I'll take a late round flyer on somebody. What if they just get maybe not a really good cornerback. Maybe they just grab a big bad. Like, what if Fashanu's there at 12? They're like, oh, smokes. We can just get a potential pro, you know, all pro level tackle. And we're going to see if we can rehabilitate Zach Wilson. Andy, I'm looking at this. Yeah, Drew Brees sucked the first 3 years in San Diego.
So yeah, he was not interesting. And along those lines, if Sean Payton sees a reclamation project, could he have an insurance policy in a quarterback in the state of Colorado that seems to indicate he is going to decide exactly where he goes next year? Could he have an inside track to Shedeur Sanders if Zach Wilson doesn't work out?
Yes, dude, this is Andy. He played one game his rookie season. Then in 2002, Drew Brees played all 16 games, played only 11 in 2003, never had a completion percentage above 60.8. 2002, 17 touchdowns, 16 picks. 2003, 11 touchdowns, 15 picks. Massive leap in year four. In 2004, he goes 11-4, 65.5% completion percentage, 3,200 yards, 27 touchdowns, only 7 picks. So you're right. This could very well be no. I'm going to take this distressed gem. I'm going to bring him out here. I'm going to buff him up, work it real good. And I may actually turn him into. Ooh,
I don't hate that.
That would be fun. I'm gonna miss being having him. Yeah, he sucks. Let's be honest.
I know. Here we go. Drew
Brees had this. Now back to the JJ McCarthy. Like Drew Brees had this. Drew Brees had the heart. What is Zach Wilson? How much does Zach Wilson care? Maybe Bo Nix.
He has that really cool pro day throw.
Yeah,
he still has that in his arsenal.
Jesus. All right, we're almost near an hour, guys. We got to wrap this up. The Chiefs have extended their president, their general manager, and their coach. That's what you do when you draft well and win. Hopefully, we'll actually get back to that point at some time. And Mike Kadlec, you strike me as the only guy in the world who may actually know who the hell Mitchell Wilcox is.
Frankly, not really. I saw Reese said he had them in. He's another.
He signed.
Yeah, he signed. He's a camp body. He's a tight end who can block, who can not really catch the ball. I don't see it. They're probably going to draft a tight end.
Why'd we let Farrell Brown go if we're going to sign Mitchell Wilcox?
Well, because Farrell Brown probably caught, I think he definitely cost more, has more upside, and they don't, you know, they went with Austin Hooper instead. I don't see Mitchell Wilcox having, I don't see Mitchell Wilcox being on the 53-man roster at all. But
wow, we found something that Cadillac doesn't like. Apparently it's Wilcox.
It's Mitchell Wilcox and broccoli cheddar soup. Those are the two things I can't stand in this world.
Poor Mitchell Wilcox.
What did he do to you? That man,
I'm sure he's a great guy.
He's got a family.
I just don't see him making the roster. I'm sorry.
I'm sure he enjoys a Friday night pizza party as much as the next tight end that can't catch a friggin' ball. All right, and there you go. Just like we promised, a nice, tight, short, quick edition of Six. Just when you haven't been able to hear enough football talk leading up to the NFL Draft 2024. Once again, everybody, he is at Mike Cadillac.
Yep.
The other guy over there, that's at Jumbo Hart. The maniac, the leader of the hashtag Take Drake movement. And of course, I am the Pennix party guy. I'll see you down the stadium on Thursday night if you're a season ticket member. Your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens. Don't forget, 6 to midnight, Thursday on WEEI, the Odyssey app, and everywhere awesome football and sports talk can be found. The Rich Keefe Show, 6 to midnight, Draft Spectacular with Cadillac, with Hart, with Shine, with Keefe, and me chiming in from the stadium as well. You are not going to want to miss it. The boys will have one more podcast for you, a one-off Wednesday tomorrow. Content and topic and title to be determined, but they've got time for that. What's it going to be?
They don't know.
Got to tune in to find out.
Yeah.
Oh, now that's called a big market tease right there, folks. Amateur hour be gone. The Six Ring boys have done it once again. For Cadillac, for Hart, for everyone involved, we thank everyone at WEEI, Odyssey, and 2400 Sports for having us, just like we do you. Smashing that subscribe button and tell your friends the best Patriots talk in town is found at Six Rings. Have a great day, everyone. Happy draft season. And as always, God bless, and let's go, Pats.